Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Zoomers. How are you guys? Sorry, I'm not on screen yet. So. Good morning. I'm waving at them, seeing if anybody will wave back. Yay! Two people waved back. Good to see you guys. Oh, it's good to be together. Ah, let's jump into Mark. If you have Bibles, open them up to Mark. It's just to the right of Matthew. We are in Mark 1, 9 through 15. And this is incredible. Let's get there first. I'm excited about this text. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan. All geography. Everybody see the geography there? These are important places. Places are huge. Pay attention to places. And if you're not from that region, right? When I was growing up, I grew up here in Fort Wayne, and Pontiac Street wasn't a good street to go to. And so if I said, "Hey, I'm just sitting there cruising down Pontiac Street," people were like, "Ooh, what were you doing there?" Every area has those things. Why? Because there's history in geography. Anybody remember where you got proposed to? Like, for marriage? Yeah. Yeah, see, would you go back to that? And it would, okay, that was the most incredible thing, how many couples actually looked at each other. Like, do you? It was, right, no, but it wasn't a do you, I joke. It was this loving, like, yeah, I remember that place. Anybody go back to that place ever? No? Yeah, it's amazing how many people take that trip back. Anybody remember that? Anybody ever sell a home before? Like you raised your kids in a home, and then you sold the home, and there's like that moment where there's like these memories, and you're saying, I mean, it's just brick and wood and electric wire and plumbing, but there's more because places have this je ne sais quoi. Found out that word means what is this? It's incredible. So what are we talking here? Go ahead and click to the next slide. So Nazareth is up there to the left. You see the map. I just Google mapped it. And it's a huge tool if you want to study the Bible. Use Google Maps. Nazareth is there to the left. That's Jesus' hometown. It's blue-collar, hard-working people. His dad was a tecton, probably like an architect. We say carpenter, but that kind of deal. Just to the, it's just to the west of the Sea of Galilee. See the blue hanging down? That's the Sea of Galilee. But he went all the way down. It says he left Nazareth and went down to the Jordan to be baptized, just north of the Dead Sea. So he went down to the Jordan to be baptized. Now go ahead and click to the next slide. So here's what was going on. You can read about this in Luke 1:39. And sorry if you look at it, the map. They're on the west side of the Dead Sea. That's Qumran. Does that name ring a bell to anybody, Qumran? Okay, other than Bill? Okay, how about this one? The Dead Sea Scrolls? Who's heard of these? So what happened is this group called the Essenes, they left Jerusalem because they didn't like the way the system was running. They had elected a chief priest that they disagreed with, and so they left, and they went to these caves in Qumran, and they copied scripture. And they had a very, very, very rigorous lifestyle. They had all kinds of rules because they disagreed with the way that the system was going, and so they fled the system. Isn't it amazing how things change? It's like they stockpiled food and yeah, they were doomsday preppers. It's exactly what they were doing. And what's incredible about this is they were also stringent in their rules. My favorite rule that I learned about the Essenes, and when I say rules, it's not scripture, it's how we interpret scripture. Right? Have you heard the commandment about Sabbath? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy on it. You shall do no work, neither you nor your maidservant nor your manservant nor your ox nor your donkey. So what's the first question that you ask if you want to follow that rule? Like, just logically. What's work? Yeah, what's work? Like, when I taught confirmation, this was all the time. Well, what's work? What counts? If I dig a hole, is that work? Well, what if I like digging holes? What if I'm digging a hole to build a sandcastle? Is that work? That's the question they'd ask. One of the rabbis, the Essene rabbis, they said, work is whenever somebody produces something. Who would agree with that definition? Anybody see a problem with that definition? Okay, I see a couple nodding heads. Anybody ever work with seventh grade boys? Yeah. Now, everybody put on your, so only two of you had your hands up, so put on your seventh grade boy thinking cap, and not just any seventh grade boy. Put on your seventh grade boy, the one that always asks the questions that make me feel foolish. What's the seventh grade boy confirmation question that's going to make the pastor blush? When the rule is, anything you produce is considered work. Yep, John just got it. John has worked with seventh grade boys. What's the question? What about poop? I made something. That's actually what they did. The Essenes made a rule that they actually said, if you defecate on the Sabbath, you are breaking the Sabbath, and you will be disciplined. And so they would fast on Friday so that they wouldn't poo on Saturday. So John, Jesus' cousin, probably got kicked out of the Essenes. that's what most historians believe, because one of their practices was this submersing in rivers. And we don't have that under the Bible, and we definitely don't have why he got kicked out, but my sanctified imagination just imagines that conversation. And so John left Qumran, and most scholars believe he left Qumran and went and baptized at the place in the Jordan where it flows. So John's baptizing there, and he's baptizing a baptism of repentance, a baptism of think different after. You've been taught a legal structure where you gotta be good enough to get in and think different. There is hope, there is a future. And Jesus goes down to be baptized by John. And then what's Jesus do next? Let's go back to the text. The Spirit immediately drove him into the, everybody say it now, wilderness. And if you missed that, that's an important word. We'll just keep reading. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the, yeah. Like, anybody notice when we went through Mark, how brief Mark is? With the brevity of Mark, the fact that he uses three versions of wild, wilderness, wilderness, wild, he's getting at something. See, what I believe is that where Jesus went, go ahead and click to the next map, is just west of Qumran. Just west of Qumran is considered the wilderness, and it's the nearest wilderness, and the reason we think that is because there's a wadi there. Do you guys know wadi? No. Do you guys know crick? Okay. What's the difference between a crick and a creek? See, a creek, no, it's spelled the same way. No, a creek usually has the same water level. A crick is more like our ponds, where they'll be really, really low. You could walk across it one day, and the next day it's flowing water. You could, if you're in the wadi and it rains north, you're going to die because it's a flash flood. That's a wadi. There's this wadi, and that's the closest wadi. See, we know Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and we know that Jesus is full God and at the same time full man. And so Jesus fasted from food. We know people can do that, but Jesus drank water. Because you have to. Don't go 40 days and 40 nights. I suggest not going more than like 3 days without water. Personal testimony there. See, when you go there, go ahead and click to the next slide. I want you to see this. This is the Wadi Kelt. Yeah, this is where Jesus went. And there's a little river running down, but you're going, hold on, why is there a monastery there? Well, there's a monastery there called St. George's. But on the top of it, and it's to mark where Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, they started a monastery. But up above it, you can see, if you see the blue there on the right, when you look just to the left of the blue dome, you see these little caves. And that one's called Elijah's Cave, because ravens go in and out of this. Now, when you hear Elijah's cave in the wilderness, you're hopefully your brain instantly goes to an event in the Bible. If it doesn't, let me just bring your brain to it. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet. Go ahead and flip your Bibles open to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. And this is why the geography matters as you're getting there, is they believe that this event happened in this same place. Now, was it that exact cave? Yeah, we don't know, but we know it was that region. We know that this happened in Wadi Kelt, or Wadi Krik, if you prefer. 1 Kings 17, Elijah starts off his ministry, and this is amazing. Oh, I can't wait to get here. Elijah starts off his ministry, and he predicts there's going to be a drought, and God leads him out into the wilderness. And in verse 6, you read this, "And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." Now, unbiblicify this with me. What happens when somebody brings you food and drink in the morning and food and drink in the evening? Doesn't that sound nice? Anybody ever been to an all-inclusive where you just show up and breakfast is in the room? See, the point is it always starts with rest. It starts with that moment of pause. It starts with that moment of being filled up and fed. See, wilderness, properly understood in the biblical narrative, is about resting. Wilderness is for resting. That's why we miss this in Lent. We think Lent is about fasting, and fasting is about work. But if you've ever fasted, you know that fasting forces rest. Try going 2-3 days. See how tired you are. You're going to rest. Just out of curiosity, who's had to quarantine in the last year? Question I never thought I'd be asking. Isn't it weird how it starts off and it's kind of restful and fun, and you get to like binge Netflix? This is my picture. I just had to quarantine for 10 days. Isn't this your picture of resting? Wilderness is for resting. But anybody that's quarantined, and actually I'd argue anybody that's rested well, realizes that it looks a little bit more like this. Are you with me? Yeah, because see, the deal is this. Resting almost always leads to wrestling. Oh, that was supposed to. Yeah, resting often leads to wrestling. See, we rest and we calm down and we start asking these questions. What's next? My first 4 or 5 days of quarantine were great. I got caught up. Then I had 2 days where I got bored. And then I was ready for whatever's next. And there's this wrestling in the silence. There's this God, right? The problem is we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. We want to be in the center of God's will. We want to be what God in what God's doing. But we always know that there's somewhere where we're a click off, where we're not even quite where we want to be. Sometimes it's a sin issue. Sometimes it's a calling issue. But when we calm ourselves, God calls us into what's next. And I don't think there's any coincidence that where Jesus went to fast before he started his ministry and called his disciples is that same place where Elijah went to fast before he stepped into it. Resting often leads to wrestling. And see, when I say wrestling, everybody gets these different images in their mind. When I say wrestling, open up to Genesis 17. I think that's where we are. Nope, let's go to Genesis 32. I wonder what's in Genesis 17. I'll have to look that up. Oh, Genesis 17 is Abraham. We're doing a Bible study on that too. Genesis 32. Now, as you're getting to Genesis 32, who's heard of Israel? Yeah. Israel, there's the nation of Israel. There's also the person of Israel. Before he was Israel, he went by the name Jacob. And Jacob has a brother named Esau. Anybody have a brother? Yeah. Anybody ever have issues with your brother growing up? Yeah. That's what happens. Esau and Jacob, they had this issue, particularly what Scripture tells us is mom loved Jacob, but dad loved Esau. Don't raise your hands, but anybody ever feel that way? Anybody ever feel this parent loves my sibling better than me? See, what happened with Jacob and Esau is Jacob deceived his dad and his brother so that he could get the blessing, and then Jacob spent so much of his time and energy trying to prove he was enough, raising flocks to try to prove that he was enough. I believe he was going after his daddy's love the whole time, going, if I can just get one more sheep, if I can get just one more zero in my portfolio, if I can get just this, then I'll earn my dad's love. Maybe my brother will love me. Am I enough? Am I enough? And you finally have. See, Jacob, if you don't know, it means the heel. It means the butt of the joke. It means the run of the litter. That's what his name meant. And in Genesis 32, after about 20 years not seeing his brother after he deceived him, it says that he sent all this wealth, all these things to his brother across the other side of the river. And go ahead and click, because I want you to see where this river is. Notice the region? Israeli wilderness. Just on the other side of the Jordan from where Jesus and Elijah wrestled. And in Genesis 32, you read the story, that the event that Jacob is left there all by himself. He'd sent the bribes to his brother. And it says he's all by himself and he starts wrestling. Sometimes they translate it an angel. Sometimes they translate it God, God's self. But God, Jacob wrestles with the angel and says, I won't let you go unless you bless me, unless you're with me. And I love God's response. God rips Jacob's hip out of socket. And he blesses him two ways. Number one, he blesses him with a new name. He says, you've been called Jacob, but I give you this new identity of Israel. But I believe the fact that he walked with a limp was a blessing too. That he walked and always knew that God was with him. That he didn't do it by his own power, that he didn't do it by his own strength. See, Lent is all about wrestling. It's all about rest, because that's what the wilderness is about. And I don't want you to miss this. Scripture says that Jesus went to the wilderness. He went to the wilderness, and Mark, he's the only one that pulls this out, says the wild was with him. Wild is a huge word. In Hebrew, all the way back in Genesis 1, flip there, underline this. Genesis 1 is the first time wild shows up. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was formless and void. It was without form and therefore empty. Or in my opinion, the best translation, it was wild and waste. The Hebrew is tohu, vavohu. See, when we step into that wilderness, it's not wild and waste because it's bad, it's wild, because it's this new frontier to be cultivated and formed by us. It's this calling that God's given us. It's a, if you will, a new creation, a new challenge, a new thing that God wants to do in us and through us. See, Lent is about going to the wilderness so that we rest and we wrestle. And my prayer for each and every one of us is that we have ears to hear and to ask, God, what are you calling me to in this next season? God, where are you calling me to invest the time, energy, and resources? See, Jesus left that time of fasting, and he went and he called 12 disciples, and he discipled them for 3 years before he died on the cross for all of us. And it's from those 12 that we're here today. It would have been so easy for Jesus to stay up in Nazareth and stay in the comfortable, but God was calling him to something new and something different. Where's God calling you in this season? Is it to step into something new? Is it to double down on something you've been doing? See, I wish that I could give sermons where I said, here's what God's calling you to do. That would be so much easier. Because see, if I could just do that, if I could say, this is what God's calling you to do, everybody. But see, God set it up that no, you need to go into your wilderness and pray to your God, because the thing that God's calling you to do might be right there underneath your roof right now. To invest in your own kids, to invest in your roommate, to invest in a coworker, or God might be saying, I've opened up a whole new frontier for you. So as we enter into Lent a little bit deeper, my prayer is that you can enter that wilderness. And let's join together as Ryan leads us in prayer.